everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Chit Chat Podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing, does the minimum wage promote unproductivity? And we're joined by a special guest.
Gia is our fourth guest on the podcast, and we're happy to have her here today. Gia, would you like to tell us a bit about yourself?
Hello, guys. I'm Gia, and I'm really passionate about economics because I like the inner workings of it, and I'd like to discuss about it, I guess.
Okay. So grab a coffee and let's chit chat. Jay, do you want to start us off with your overall stance on this motion?
Okay. My overall stance is quite opposite the question. Because the question says, to what extent does minimum wage promote unproductivity? But I think it rather promotes productivity as a whole, because I feel like it encourages workers, it encourages employees to train their workers to have more labor value in them. I think it generates higher skilled workers as an implementation of minimum wage rather than if there was no minimum wage in the market.
I agree with that. I think on one hand, it could, like, a minimum wage could increase worker motivation. If it's like a fair minimum wage, they know that they have security, so they are more motivated to show up to work and put their best. But then on the other hand, it could, the fact that it provides security could like make them feel as if they will still get the wage at that minimum level, no matter how much effort they put in. So they could put their minimum effort as could
de-incentivize. Wouldn't that be the same even if they had a higher wage? Like, wouldn't they either way be like, okay, I have this specific minimum wage, like, right?
No, but by minimum wage we mean like, what, to what extent does having a minimum wage
in promote?
Yeah,
okay.
Not necessarily like, only for minimum wage workers.
Yeah, like, it depends on what stance you're looking at from. Like, are you looking at in a market where there was no minimum wage before and then this minimum wage is implemented? So, like, was there an increase in the wage? And, like, you know, like, it kind of, was it working as a price floor, or is the wage being dropped down? Is the wage being dropped up? Like, what was the market's condition before and after really has an impact to what extent it promotes productivity or unproductivity?
Yeah, for example, like with the minimum wage, we all know that it increases unemployment. So it doesn't, the productivity doesn't necessarily have to be about the worker getting the wage. It can also be of the economy as a whole. So with higher unemployment because of the minimum wage, there can easily be unproductivity because there is labor that's pretty much redundant.
Yeah, and Shika, I would agree that, okay, there will be a fall in unemployment if there is an increase in like labor costs, but I feel like this is only the case when the minimum wages are set too high. But like the emerging trends from the previous year, that the changes in minimum wages are very small. Like they're a dollar or two, or like even like 50 cents, depending on which country you're looking at. But normally the changes in the minimum wages are small, so the unemployment changes aren't that significant. And also it kind of balances out the unemployment created, also balances out the reduced turnover, which is a link between productivity.
The main reason minimum wage does change is to keep up with inflation. Because if you think about it, if you don't change the minimum wage and your country experiences inflation, then the real wages or the real income of these workers would reduce. So it's important for governments to keep minimum wage in check, and it's usually is like dependent on the country because it's inflation, and it's also dependent on how much. If there's just a little bit of inflation, then it's important that the governments take that into account and increase the wages by a little bit.
Okay, so for example, in America, let's use America as a case study. So a study by Doob, Lester, and Rake in 2012 had actually found that the government increased minimum wage by 10%, and it actually resulted in a reduction of 2.1% in turnover for restaurant workers, which are like pretty low skilled, and a 2% reduction in turnover for teenagers as well. So it kind of shows that the evidence shows that a more generous wage results into employers retaining their workforce more easily, and the to which workers can learn more on the job and train to become more productive over time.
Yeah, I agree. And if we take into like the current global context into account, so with COVID right now, would you agree that the minimum wage in a time where people are so unmotivated, do you think it's a good idea right now? And how businesses, because I know that I think it was Washington which increased the minimum wage, but with businesses already struggling so much, I don't know how, like what the balance is.
I feel like this is kind of important at this point. If you're talking about the case study, like coronavirus, as everyone, for example, if working at home, productivity is very important. So maybe if labor costs have increased, then the employers or the employees will be more incentivized to be more productive. Like they need more incentive to be more productive when they're at home. So maybe a wage
but boost. Businesses can't really afford the additional cost, right? Like right now, a lot of businesses, especially in Thailand, you can see like Thailand is highly reliant on tourism, right? So you like, I've been in Phuket recently and I saw the whole streets were literally empty. So many businesses are going out, like they're going out of business, they're going bankrupt, etc. So I think even like many businesses are struggling right now and wouldn't be able to sustain a higher wage.
I think in this case, like a lot of workers have been unemployed as well. So I think the best thing the government can do is provide benefits like unemployment.
Yeah, I agree.
Benefits, because that's the only way you can support them right now. And I think the main priority should be getting rid of COVID from the start, because without that, nothing is going to move forward. Like that should be everyone's main priority, like more than the economy or businesses. Yeah, it should just, the focus should be on vaccine, but that's like sort of besides the point of the motion.
I think we should also establish that as like the minimum wage increases, all the other wages also increase. So people who aren't minimum wage workers, they also start demanding higher wages. So yeah, it's
like a spiral.
It's kind of like a knock. Yeah, it's a knock-on effect. So it can cost a lot for the business, and the money that could have funded other investments or like capital investment is now going to labor costs. So that's also an issue that might increase on productivity, because it's like the loss of not getting the increased productivity that they could have had with improved machinery and stuff.
I think maybe if we increase, like you said, if you increase the minimum wage, it'll lead to like a spiral and it'll lead to other workers also getting higher wages, right? So it depends on how workers are incentivized, but some, like you can see that many workers would be incentivized by money. So if they had a higher wage, like higher income, higher wages, that means that they would be more productive, but that's not a guarantee. That's the problem, right? Like not everyone who gets like a higher income would mean like, oh, I'm gonna work harder. It doesn't necessarily mean that. So I think a better way to increase productivity might just be like training the workers you already have in order to make them more productive.
Also like establishing like a good working environment, making workers feel valued and that they are heard. And
that's all just Hertzberg's two-factor motivation theory. I don't know if any of you learned in business studies, but there's like hygiene factors and there's motivating factors. So salary does motivate workers to work harder and things like that, but that's only if the motivating factors and the hygiene factors are met. So a salary won't do anything. An increase in salary won't do anything if the worker doesn't like the job itself or the worker doesn't feel valued in the job.
Why we're saying to train them, right? Like to make them more motivated.
Exactly. If you call someone a minimum wage worker, that's like kind of strips them of all value, because that's like the lowest of the workforce, is the lowest skilled jobs itself. And
Vedant over here is the most applying his business knowledge, because he always uses this to motivate us.
Anytime
he wants us to do something, he's like, or he wants,
he calls us BISP women, and that's time independent, smart, and powerful.
That stands for what? I couldn't hear you, but I was laughing so hard.
So every time he wants us to do something, he calls us the BISP ladies, which stands for beautiful, independent, smart, and powerful ladies. I think we should create one for him now.
Because you asked me the most silly questions. Oh, should I post this?
That's not true. Oh,
that's why like, you guys are all independent.
We're a team. I'm just saying. Are a team. We want us all to be a team. Because if we feel like a team, we're more productive.
But we can use this as a case study. We can use it as a case study.
Guys, as it works, he just has a bribe. He's just bribing you guys with compliments.
Yeah, it's like he's applying his business work and motivation thing, you know.
But did it motivate you to be more productive? Answer yes or no question.
No, with me.
Okay, wait.
When we ask for like opinions and stuff, it's because we want everyone to be on board, and we don't want to just like take control. You know, like
if we're all on board, we are more productive. Like we're better a team. You know.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, I want to bring an example. Said that
the money would rather be spent at training. I think. I would rather, like, in my opinion, I think the money is better spent giving it to the actual workers, because we have to think, okay, this is what I think of it as. So you could say, okay, giving increasing wages for small businesses makes harder for small businesses to sustain. But we're looking at, like, restaurant workers, I'm looking at restaurant workers, construction workers. So they have big company, like, big subsidiary companies, and I feel like increasing minimum wage for those companies actually just redistributes their income. They're not going to change their whole construction site or their whole restaurant prices just because the government increased prices by 5%. So I think
let's look at the construction workers, like you said. Let's look at construction workers in Thailand. We talked about this on like a previous podcast, but we pretty much agreed that like the construction they're workers lazy. In Thailand specifically. Yeah, they're lazy. Like,
okay, this goes to my next point. We can look at an enterprise level or an aggregate level. So like macroeconomics, because minimum wages can also result in more productive firms or employees replacing the least productive ones. So if they're lazy, the company can exploit them, like, oh, I'm paying you more than I did before anyway, so like I'm gonna kick you out if you act too smart. And this is actually a study proven by Akerlof.
So you raise the minimum wage and then threaten them, like, oh, I'm paying you more, you have to do your work.
Them, guys. They're not gonna like consciously threaten them, but like they have that advantage over them. It's called like the efficient wage theory. So it's like these mechanisms work to kick the least productive workers out of their way, because it's like the employers have an advantage over them, like, oh, I'm giving you more than I was anyway, so like if you don't keep up to my levels, I'm not gonna like hire you. So it's like it's called the efficient wage.
I feel like that's a very valid
individual firms then compared to where like
I'm just saying that's a valid leadership style. Like that's one way to go about it, increase the wage and then be like, I'm paying you more. But another way would be talking back about training. If you train the workers instead of improving their minimum wage, it's like a long-term effect, because these workers are like so low skilled. Most of them probably didn't finish school yet, so they don't have the skills to take on a higher salary. But if you train them, they're going to get that training. They're going to build those skills themselves, that they deserve a higher salary themselves, because now they're fully trained. They can both help the enterprise because the enterprise trained them. And again, if you say that they're being lazy, then you can still use the Gia's theory about like saying like, oh my God, I trained.
Love theory.
Yeah,
he's a professor at Georgetown, guys.
So you can use that theory and be like, I trained you, I spent my money on training you, but you're still not showing me results. So I guess that like it works that way as well, because now that they have training, they deserve a higher salary in the sense anyway.
Firstly, this sounds very toxic. Secondly, we should also
you guys. I don't think the employers actually say it. I just painted a story to better explain it.
No, it's pretty well known. Minimum wage workers aren't treated with a lot of respect anyway.
We should also acknowledge the fact that if we increase or establish a minimum wage, the prices of the products is also going to increase. So do you guys think that there might be any way that this knock-on effect, then everything just basically increases, right? So it's kind of like somewhat of like wage inflation might happen. So in demand, that way, that might actually...
Sorry, cost push.
Yeah, that might actually increase productivity.
Okay, this is funny because I found a study in China, and China is known for low-priced manufactured products. And there was like a city-level increase in minimum wage, and that actually resulted into 16,000 manufacturing firms to increase their productivity, and it increases their survival probability of their productive firm. I think others can as well.
But I think most of that will be attributed to China itself. So suppose all the cities around you are minimum wage, same job, everything. If one city improves their wage by just a bit, all the high-skilled workers will come to that city anyway. So it's going to be productive because that place is known for you can get paid more here. You just have to work hard. It becomes like that epicenter in all of China.
Well, I think it was the wage was increased in Beijing. I'm not sure, but if it's Beijing, then it's already the center point, so I don't think it'll make a significant difference because people are already trying to get it.
I understand that, but I'm just thinking, if one place improves their minimum wage, do you think maybe somewhere else in China there might have been a lack of productivity, and if you take the aggregate economy, it might have just canceled out? Because if it's productive in the one place that improved minimum wage, think about the places that didn't improve minimum wage. That might be demotivating. So do you think
also we might establish the fact that in China the minimum wage is not as high as it is somewhere in the West? So in that case, it might have increased productivity, but in another country where it's already at a decent level, increasing it further might not have the exact same effect, you know?
Leads to loopholes. Like, China's just gonna, like, you know, it's like specialization kind of. Like, if, like, for example, America, where there's high wages, like, maybe they should just focus on higher skilled work rather than China, which can have an increased minimum wage, but with still less, a higher increased minimum wage, but with still less skills required for the work.
And also going back to the training point that was brought up, I feel like a lot of work, some work needs to be low skill. Like, someone has to be doing the construction jobs. You know, we can't train everyone and expect everyone to take up high positions because it doesn't work like that.
I think for construction jobs, we might want to consider something like job rotation. Like, for example, I volunteered at the Bangkok Community Help. I talked about that earlier, another podcast. And I
did it with my sister. Another podcast. Wow.
No, this another episode. I'm not like you, Vedant, betrayer.
Vedant starting another podcast.
No, we don't promote it here, guys. Shut up. yes, I went with my sister, and basically midway, she was like, okay, I'm getting kind of bored of this job. Can we switch? So like that's another very easy way for maybe a lower skill job to increase productivity, because it's so simple and yet very effective. Because after that, I actually also was bored of that job, and I felt more motivated afterwards after switching it.
I agree, but at the same time, in other stuff where people are specialized, so for example in the assembly line, right, like people might be specialized with their specific thing where they're really fast and productive at doing it. So even if they did that, do job rotation,
isn't it for it that might, one though? You said you were talking about the lower skilled one, right? For the lower skilled one, job rotation for something in like an assembly line, maybe that would require training, right? Because it requires specialization.
Yeah, I don't expect like a board of directors to do job rotation, and it's very common in assembly lines for job rotation, because these guys are just doing the same thing, like filling a balloon, or I don't know what happens in a
what
what do they do in manufacturing, like sticking two pieces together all day.
Is that how cars are made?
I think I think we can conclude that it depends on what. So if you're trying to improve productivity, maybe minimum wage isn't the best way to go about it. But then if you're trying to promote income equality, then maybe
minimum wage is a very
productivity or
equality. Can I just point out something? If you want to increase the minimum wage, didn't we say that would lead to unemployment? So wouldn't that actually partly also worsen the income inequality? Because it not only would it lead to more unemployment, it would probably even lead to more crime rates, because they'll lead to them being more unemployed.
But then, guys, remember, as I said before, when governments do increase minimum wages, they increase by very insignificant amounts. So it's like over time, the standard of living increases. It's like it's the unemployment is not going to be affected that much. Like, there's several studies in China, in America, as I said, the studies, but I don't
know. So maybe the question becomes, if it's so insignificant that it's not even contributing that much to unemployment, then maybe it's not significant enough to increase productivity either.
Are you looking at increasing productivity, or are you looking at increasing the standard of living? Like, maybe 10 baht more to all the construction workers, they can get better clothes, or they can afford more medicine on a daily basis, or it depends on the little things.
Didn't you say that it's such an insignificant amount, right? But for them, like, that insignificant amount probably isn't that insignificant, right? So it would actually lead to some.
It's insignificant as an aggregate level. Like, as an economist, when looking at the whole economy, increasing it by like 2%, giving 10 baht more to each workers won't hurt the economy.
That would still lead to more demand, right? Because like that extra money, it would still lead to more workers being attracted to the higher wages, right? So that would still lead to an effect on the unemployment. And we don't know how much it was. It kind of depends on the country and the amount that it increases, but regardless, it will still lead to an effect on the unemployment. And that would still also lead to an effect for the government, because they have to pay the benefits for those unemployed.
On average, 60% of a firm's costs come from human capital or salaries. And if you like increase the minimum wage by 2%, if you take, for example, something like McDonald's, where all their workers are around about the minimum wage, then that would be almost a 2% increase in cost. And if you take that account to cost push inflation, then it might just negate the entire increase in wages whatsoever. But I feel like we all can just agree that wages isn't the primary way to improve motivation. You have to do a lot of other things, such as, like, I don't know, just treat them with respect, or we talked about training, and then we can use wages. And we also just have to develop on that as well. So be like, remind the workers that they got an improved wage for a reason, and they shouldn't be lazy. They should like do their work properly as well. So it has to be a all-around thing. You can't just do it and expect results. You have to cultivate it and just have like that culture around improving a wage, I guess.
On that note, let's ask ourselves, what have we learned today?
We have not learned that Vedant is starting a new podcast, because we do not promote that.
You literally, I made the podcast a week ago and you make me send the non-compete today. Today. You guys are too late. This is like a you problem.
Okay. As a guest, I've learned Vedant's obsession about his business triangle. Anyways, as an
business triangle.
I don't mean to offend anyone, but like business studies. Okay, maybe at SL. Okay, I feel like I'll offend people, but like business studies is, guys, it's fine.
We learned that business studies is incompetent.
People out there. Huh?
No.
Isn't that what you're saying?
What did you say, Anshika?
Business studies is incompetent.
I had no comments.
Good. Unless you want to come back in the next motion being, is business studies worth it? I recommend you don't insult business studies. It's helpful. Office politics.
I love economics.
Economics is fun, but I know.
I would choose economics SL over business studies at HL in the worth of content. Like, it's just, I don't want to learn about triangles. But that's personal.
It's literally not about triangles.
I'm just so salty against business studies.
Business. Okay, I feel like I have a leg to stand on, because I do both HL economics and HL business studies, and I can proudly say like the two subjects are so different. Business studies is all about like office politics. Like, if you know business studies, is going to help you in that environment a lot, especially with enterprise and things like that, and how to approach the different aspects of a business. Because at the end of the day, it's logic. It's almost not logic, because you have to approach like HR, finance, things like that. And we're all going to work for a business.
Should we start another debate?
On that note, maybe the question is, finish up our podcast. Anshika, were you going to say something?
Never mind.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gia, for being here. We hope to have you back sometime. And yeah, we'll see you in our next chit chat, guys.